Exodus chapter 17, and I'll begin in verse 8 and read down through the end of the chapter. Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Venisai. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let us look now to our Lord in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to us, mercy and grace, and watch care over us. We thank thee, our Father, for this privilege that you have given us to come into the house of the Lord this evening. We thank thee, our Father, for Brother Duke and his family and for the church here and opening up and being so warm and welcoming to us. And we ask, Father, that you would bless in this conference. We thank thee, our Lord, for the message that we have already heard and looking forward to the duration of the time that we are here. And Father, we ask that if there are any lost and undone and know you not as Lord and Savior, that this would be the day of salvation, that they'd come to know you in the full pardon and forgiveness of sin. And Father, I ask that you would be with me tonight as thy servant, and may you give me liberty and ability and unction from on high to present thy word in truth and in love. I ask, Father, for the forgiveness of our sins. May thy will be done, and these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight I hope to be a bit of an encouragement to each and every one that is gathered here tonight as I bring to you the message, the importance of every child of God. The importance of every child of God. And it would seem, well, no, we know that God is sovereign and tempers all these things together. And so Brother Philip tonight used a lot of I's. His bullet point word, there you are, were I's. And I also have the same for you this evening that we'll talk about in a few moments. But let's give a little bit of context of what's going on here in Exodus chapter 17 where we are reading this evening. This is a very important time in the life in the nation of Israel. As they journey toward the promised land, they are faced with their first encounter with an enemy army. The Bible tells us that they came face to face with the armies of Amalek. These people were a nomadic tribe that were a constant thorn in the sides of the people of Israel. In this first encounter, they proved their nature by conducting an unprovoked attack against the Israelites. In this context, in this scene that we have picked up with in our reading this evening, we find that Israel was traveling, and we find that the great leader Moses was mentioned, along with Aaron, as well as the first mention of a future leader named Joshua. These men, Moses, Aaron, and Joshua, were all great leaders in the history of Israel, and all played and all had a very important role in early history of this great nation, the nation of Israel. However, there is another man mentioned in these verses that I believe deserves some of our attention this evening. And his name is Hur. This is a man who basically, as far as our context is concerned, kind of comes out of nowhere. Right? He kind of appears on the scene. He does a great work that we're going to talk about tonight, the Lord willing, and then kind of disappears into the shadows from which he came. We don't know much about her before this, and we only know a little bit about her, and we'll read those few verses after this event. We understand and we know that people have long looked to Moses and to Joshua as great leaders and great role models, and rightly so, as they were. And they did wonderful things by the power and by the hand and by the mercy of Almighty God. These men are true heroes of the faith. But tonight, and as I was praying about and thinking about a message that might be a blessing and an encouragement, I think about all the work that goes into hosting a conference. And hopefully tonight you'll learn even more than just at conference time. Because I believe in this story, the real heroes are Aaron and Hur. The ones who came alongside Moses and held up his hands. And that's who we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the Hurs that are among us. We read in our text that when Moses' hands were held up, Israel prevailed in the battle. When Moses' hands were allowed to fall down, Amalek prevailed. And after a while throughout this battle, as we read in our text tonight, Moses became too weary to hold up his own hands. And so stepped up Aaron and Hur, who held up the hands of Moses until the battle was finished. So in my mind, as I read this, in the providence of God, we know that Israel would prevail in this battle because God is sovereign and he'd have them to prevail. But let us not overlook these two heroes of Aaron and Hur. Today and this evening, I would like to pay tribute to every Hur in this assembly tonight. To give honor to all those who are willing to take that second seat. Those who are willing to make up that second line. People who are often unnoticed, unthanked, unappreciated. Those like the man we read about tonight named Hur. I want you to know that, as we said in our title, the importance of every child of God. Tonight we want to look at the subject in three parts, three eyes. People like Hur are absolutely invaluable. People like Hur are always involved. And thirdly tonight, people like Hur are often invisible. I have a fourth part. Isn't that funny? You guys won't be thinking that about 8:50 tonight, but it's funny now. And then fourthly, we're going to look at people like Hur are always investors. So people like Hur are absolutely invaluable. Let's look again at Exodus chapter 17 and I'd like to read again verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. In this battle, in this story that we read here that's not made up, in this true account of this battle that is recorded for us in the Word of God, we see the great leader that Moses was unable to hold up his own hands. And as we read, and as I've covered in our introduction, if his hands fell, the Amalekites were certainly to win the battle. However, Aaron and Hur step forth and hold up the hands of Moses until the battle is won. The task that Hur accomplished that day may not sound like a lot to you and I tonight. However, in the providence of God, had it not been for the work of this man, Moses would not have had the strength of himself to do this job. And really, if you think about the history of Israel down the road, and Joshua may never have been able to lead Israel to victory in battle. So Aaron and Hur, in the providence of God, had to be there. And they were there. And they were necessary. And they were invaluable in this battle. You see, because had they not been there, the battle would have been lost and Israel would have been defeated. Now, we know the outcome of the story, right? So we can read it. We can go backwards. We can read Exodus 17, and I read down through, and you could see that the battle was won. But when you live it real time, you don't know the end of the story. We know that God knows the end of the story. They didn't know, but they trusted God. We can know that. So it's easy. Yeah, we can stand up and say, yeah, well, of course they won. Well, they were living it real time. Right. Have you ever lived a battle real time? Preachers, have you ever been in a battle real time and you've been thankful for those that have lifted up your hands? And we don't know. We know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand. But isn't it a blessing of God when people come alongside us and hold us up? That is the invaluableness of every child of God. Things today, as I kind of just alluded to, have not changed much in our churches. Let me explain. Certainly today, we still find the Moses and the Aarons and the Joshuas, those frontline guys, the pastors, if you will, the ones that are called of God by God to be the leaders, though none of us that I believe that are called to that role feel as if we are worthy or deserve the role, but that God has called us to the role. So there are still those that are in that line. There are still those who get the credit, so to speak. There are those who get seen. There are those who do the headline-grabbing work of the ministry. But I strongly believe behind every one of those people, there's an army of hers lifting up that front line. Now, I am absolutely not comparing myself to be the kind of leader that Moses or Joshua was. But as a pastor, as a minister of the Word of God, by default am kind of in that front line, so to speak. And I can say to you with all confidence that if it were not for my precious wife, my beautiful children, and the members of the church that I pastor, I could not do what I do every week that I stand up. Now, I'm thankful that God supplies the power and gives me liberty and ability to proclaim His word. But I know that hours of prayer have gone in on my behalf to proclaim God's word. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit and try not to get emotional as I did the first time I preached this message. I know that even looking now just at the beginnings of this wonderful conference, that there are a lot of people who have been praying, maybe fasting and carrying the load so that the first line people are able to do their work. People who have been praying and seeking the Lord's face and lifting up the hands of those who are weary in the work of the Lord. And I want to tell you tonight, you are absolutely invaluable and precious and worthy, and praise God for you and the work that he has called you to. You know, every now and then, and pastors, preachers, you understand this, every now and then we may preach a message that helps or possibly blesses someone. And from time to time after the services, people will come up and they will tell me that they enjoyed it or that it helped them or that they were blessed and encouraged. People try, and not in a mean way, not because it's they're trying to be disrespectful, but try to give, you know, credit to the man. But again, as I said, I know that anything good that comes out of this mouth and this mind comes from God Almighty, not from Justin Meyer. And I also know, as I said, every time I stand up to preach, I do so after some saints of God have spent hours before the Lord praying for me. And I can tell you, nothing means as much to me as the knowledge that some of God's most precious people are holding me up and holding up my arms in prayer. Praise God for hers. Oftentimes, and this will come later, but you know, the world may never know your name, but Almighty God knows the work that you do. And the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely pleased when you are serving him. So keep on keeping on. The Lord's churches need people in prayer. Secondly, tonight, people like her are always involved. They're always involved. So again, we read verse 12. Let's go and read verse 10 again here of Exodus chapter 17. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. Isn't that a blessing also, right? Joshua went and did what was told of him to do and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of that hill. So again, in the providence and the sovereignty of God, we see that they all were to go up. We read verse 12, but I want this verse to really stick with you tonight. This is the emphasis of the message in verse 12. But again, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So people like her are always involved. You see, her, it was not a great leader like Moses. He wasn't a great general like Joshua. He wasn't a great high priest like Aaron. He wasn't a warrior like those in the army. He was her. And that is exactly who God called him to be. That's who God called him to be. Now, the Bible does tell us that later on, Hur was a man of influence among the people. Turn over, if you would, to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 14. He was an influence. He was an encourager to future generations. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 14, it says, "And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come to them, unto them." So he was a man that was able to give some encouragement later on. But on this day, in this battle, there was one thing that Hur could do, and he did it willingly, actively, and faithfully. He could hold up hands. And I believe that Hur did the very best that he could. So what a lesson for God's children, members of the local church body. You know, God has called many of us into different gifts. Not everyone can be the pastor. Not everyone can sing solos or play instruments. Not everyone is as an effective witness as maybe others. Not everyone can do the visible jobs of the church, such as cleaning the church and mowing the grass and the general upkeep and, of course, the cooking. So thank you all for that. Not everyone is called to that, and some of you probably shouldn't cook. Not saying I had any of that tonight. Okay, that's Dangerous Grounds coming back. But we're all called to a different service, and God has tempered the body together as it pleased Him, and every member of the Lord's church is important and needed and valuable and needs to be involved. And praise God that they are, right? We need to remember, again, as I said, that the Lord has placed us in His body as it pleased Him. Turn over to the verses that very well could be in your mind right now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and really just going to read these verses to you. There's a lot of meat in them that certainly could be preached and expounded upon. But I want to read them to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read a lengthy portion of this chapter. And we'll begin in verse 4. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Right? There are diversities. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Listen, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized unto one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. I think we need to remember that all the time, amen? I mean, not just in conference times, not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Wednesday nights, but we need to remember that God has tempered our local church bodies together as it pleased Him. Now, go on and you keep reading the blessing here, all right? And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the other hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. The importance of every child of God. What a lesson for us tonight. Therefore, whether we are a highly visible part of the body or an unnoticed part, we are all essential to the proper functioning of the body of Christ. So keep on doing what God has called you to do in the church that you serve in, that the church you serve in. Keep on what God has called you to do to help in the service of your pastors for the Lord. And may we be encouraged to be like a her and always be involved in the work of the Lord. Listen, the whole idea here in our text in Exodus 17 and the idea that we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that while we can't do everything, and that includes the pastors, we may think that we can do everything, but we can't. While we may think that we can do everything, we can't. But we can do what we can do. Amen? Does that make sense? I mean, that's not really profound, but it is profound. Because you can do what you can do. And you can do what God has gifted you with to do. Her's gift in this story in Exodus 17 was to go out and hold up the hand and the arm of Moses. And he did it. He did it. He was involved in the work that he was called to. And so may God continue to bless you. And maybe this message will give you encouragement to get involved in the work of the Lord and to be like her and hold up the hands of your pastor. But the main thing to remember before we press on in this message is that there is a great work to do. And there is room for all that want to be involved in the Lord's work. Listen, after all, the Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Don't we sing the song, little is much when God is in it? You know, and David had the right attitude about serving the Lord when he said what he said here in Psalm 84 and verse 10. So, again, I want to encourage all of God's children tonight. You may not be called to be a Moses or a Joshua, an Aaron, or a warrior, but I'm telling you, you can do what you can do by the grace of God and the gifts that he has bestowed upon you. And may we have this beautiful attitude that David had in Psalm 84 and verse 10, where it says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." What a beautiful attitude that is. What a servant's heart that is. And may God continue to bless the hers in this life. Now, I notice something here. This is not the next part of the message. I notice there is absolutely no clock. So I have no clue how long I have been going, and I've got two more parts. So I hope you all have the strength to endure, because we're going to keep on going by the grace of God. Again, I thank the Lord for those who willingly do not stay or willingly not in the spotlight while they serve the Lord. Because as I've mentioned, there is no task unimportant, especially when it is done for the glory of the Lord. Thirdly, people like her are often invisible. We read, again, many times, Exodus 17, 12. So let's, again, just get the context of it here. This man, her, he was not mentioned before this situation in Exodus chapter 17. And only a couple of times afterward. This is a man who lived in the shadows while others around him received the glory, invisible to the crowd. The crowd who could only see Moses and Aaron and Joshua, the frontline guys. So after the battle, just picture after the battle, this great victory. And it is a great victory, right? I mean, this victory over the Amalekites was a great victory for Israel. So you can imagine the excitement of the Israelites after this victory. You can imagine as Moses came back down, as they came back down from the hill, as the Bible records. You can imagine even Joshua, as he led victorious Israelite armies back into the camp. And I'm sure there were congratulations all around and slaps on the back and shouts of joy. Way to go! Great work, Moses! Thank you, Joshua! And I can see the people as they receive Moses back into the camp with shouts and expressions of joy and gratitude. We prevailed! We thank you! And all these different things, right? He's the frontline guy. And they're getting to know Joshua a little bit. And Aaron's the hype. So they're knowing who these people are. And rightly, again, I'm not taking away. Moses was a fantastic and an incredible leader called of God to lead the nation of Israel. Joshua picked up that after the death of Moses. Not taking away from the glory and the things that God had these men to do. But you can imagine all of the shouts that were going on. I can hear Aaron as he led the congregation in a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for giving them victory. But then I see a fellow named Hur. And I see this fellow named Hur as he walks, undoubtedly weary, towards his tent, after doing that work that God had called him to do and holding up the hand of Moses. Not many, if any at all, do we see or have recorded pats him on the back. No one probably tells him of the good job that he did. In fact, only a couple of people probably even know what he did that day. So to the vast majority of the Israelites in the camp, he was invisible. But I believe in his heart, he was overjoyed because he knew that God knew his heart. And he did what God called him to do. Well, probably no one in that camp was telling her what a great job he did that day. Our Heavenly Father in heaven knows exactly the heart of her. And you can almost hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When we are people like her, we can know a couple of things. First, we can know that it is often a thankless job. People like her work and they labor, yet seldom do they hear the words, "Thank you." And it can be hard to keep serving the Lord when it seems that nobody appreciates what you're doing. But I will say, it's in times like that which reveal our true motives, right? If we stop serving God because no one brags on us, then we may be in danger of just doing it for the recognition of man, as they were in Matthew chapter 6, right? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2. Let's read that very quickly, or maybe not quickly. Let's just go to it and read it as the Lord would direct us to read it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2, the Word of God says to us, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward." Now, do you understand the giving of alms was the giving of their, what we could call tithe, they're giving their offering, and when they dropped their alms, they dropped it into a trumpet type sound, and the more you gave, the louder it, and it made all those types of sounds. That's what it was. That's what they were doing. Okay? If you're doing it so that everybody can see what you're doing, you have your reward. Verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." It's often a thankless task, but it is never an unnoticed task. Well, it may be unnoticed by the people around us, but it's never unnoticed by God. The second thing about being invisible is people like her and others, or people like her work and others get the recognition. Again, the sermon may have been a good sermon and the preacher may have done a good job delivering it, but behind him were many who sacrificed their time to pray for the message. And I believe, as Brother Duke was encouraging me today when we went down and prayed before this meeting and said, "Brother, we prayed that you'd be able to make it tonight." Praise God for lifting up my hands that I could come tonight. All of that sacrifice and that time that you put in, praise God. So again, the preacher may get some of that, you know, good job, but the real workers go unnoticed. And I've said it 100 times, I'll say it one more time and I'll move on. But may I remind you that while men may not see all that you're doing down here for the glory of God, God knows everything you do for His glory. And you know what? One day we're going to have crowns that we're going to be able to cast at our Savior's feet. How glorious that will be. And I will take a few moments of time, and I will, because I have the privilege of preaching right now, and just be able to say in my own life in ministry that my wife has always maintained a low profile, but she has been an incredible encouragement to me. I talk to my wife about everything. She knows my burdens and my discouragements. She knows my hurts and my pains. She listens to me and always encourages me to look up to the Lord and not the current trial. She stays in that second line, but she helps me to stay on that front line as a servant of our Lord. She may remain invisible, but she is not invisible in the eyes of God. And I do not thank her near as I should. I cannot tell you of the countless times that my wife and my children have worked tirelessly to get our house ready for company on moment's notice so that you might learn a little something about me, but I really enjoy fellowshipping with God's people. And I really enjoy being able to have the time just to be able to tell stories and to be able to do all those things. And all of their efforts may go unnoticed so that I can sit on the chair or on the couch and maybe for that short amount of time be in that spotlight, as it were. The work of the hers are often invisible. But I thank my wife and my family for holding up my arms. Okay, and the last point I have tonight is that people like her are always investors. Remember I told you there was another couple of times that her was mentioned. We read one of them already in Exodus 24. There's one more, and it's in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 2. If you would turn over there very quickly. People like her are always investors. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's look at this. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 2, and it says, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." And you say, "What in the world? What does that mean? What are you talking about?" Well, you see, here's what this is talking about. I believe strongly, as Hur lived his life and he performed his God-given ministry, I believe that there were some watching. And sometime later, God in his providence needed someone who was going to build the tabernacle and provide a place where the Lord could meet with his people. And so as the Lord, in his divine plan and providence knows all the things from the beginning and to the end, And he was able to know from the millions of the Israelites, his eyes settled on one man. It was a fellow by the name of Baaziel. And you know who this man was? This man was the grandson of a man named Hur. And I believe this grandfather, who was silently doing the work of the Lord, was quietly encouraging his grandson and was investing by the way he lived his life. My guess is, and I'm surmising here, I know that, but is that Baaziel was watching his grandfather as he served the Lord, and he watched his grandfather as he took a back seat while others received that praise and that glory. And he watched as the Lord used Hur for his glory. So what I've been trying to say throughout the duration of this message tonight is you may not have a high profile position, and you may think that cleaning the church or praying for the services or if you teach a class is an unimportant function. May I remind you that others are watching. And God always knows, we've talked about that, but others are watching. There are people who are not saved who are watching how you serve the Lord, doing what you can with the gifts that God has given you. There are people in this community watching what Olmsted Baptist Church does. And so those that are working and praying for the Lord are investors. There are little ones who will see their mom and their dad being faithful to the Lord God Almighty. And I'll say this one more time in the message. There are no unimportant duties in the church. There are no unimportant duties in the church. And as we do what we do, may we do it for the glory of God. So, I'm almost sure that there are some here today who can relate to Hur, H-U-R. That you are dedicated to the Lord. Maybe you just haven't. And I don't know. Maybe Brother Duke has a fantastic ability to know everything that you do all the time. I don't think so, but right? Because we're not omnipresent. And it is never the purpose of a pastor to not thank you for the work that you do. I can assure you of that. But maybe you're here tonight and you feel a little bit like a Hur. May God continue to bless you in the work that he has called you to. And may you continue to faithfully serve the Lord. I thank you for your attention to the Word of God, and may God use his Word and add the blessing to it.